Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
You don't believe me yet, but you will.
There we go.
I told you and everyone else a month ago
that Patrick
Mahomes is off to a Jordan-esque start. And you tried to change it. Oh, you're saying he's Michael Jordan? No, I never said he was Michael Jordan. I never said he was the GOAT. I said his career is off to a similar start to Michael Jordan's. Michael Jordan came into the league from day one and did things we'd never seen. For a great player at that time and even today, averaging 20-some-odd points is the standard. For Jordan, it was 30. And Patrick Mahomes, a great quarterback, throwing for 260, 270 yards a game. Mahomes over 300. And now you got other guys following in his footsteps. Now, I also said he had the potential to be the GOAT. The potential. You tried to mock. You tried to say I said he's the GOAT already. No, I ain't say any of that. I'm just saying in every sport, there occasionally comes along a player so talented, so great that he's got the GOAT potential. He may or may not reach it. But it's there. In the NBA, when LeBron was early in his career, everyone said, GOAT potential. May not get there, but the potential. Kevin Durant, an all-time great. Maybe top 10 of all time. But we never looked at him like GOAT potential. That's all I'm saying. Steph Curry, great player. We never, not GOAT potential. James Harden, awesome. Not GOAT potential. Mike Trout, GOAT potential. Bryce Harper, great. Not GOAT potential. That's all I'm saying. I've said Pat Mahomes has GOAT potential. If he wins enough Super Bowls, he will be in that discussion. And you mocked me because I said that use the term Jordan-esque. Well, there is more evidence that he's Jordan-esque. Patrick Mahomes, a week after dislocating, Rob G, correct me if I'm wrong, dislocating his kneecap, is practicing, and he might play this week. Now, look, I'm not a doctor. I wouldn't think he's going to play. I wouldn't think he should play. But the fact that he's practicing, the fact that he might play, this dude is a gamer. That is something Michael Jordan would do. Chris, that's all I'm saying. He's Jordan-esque potential.
Are you done?
Yes, I'm done. And so are you.
It's obvious.
Whatever you say is done.
It's obvious you don't cover football. This is the biggest scam going where they try to make you prepare for Patrick Mahomes and tell you, he practiced this week. Oh, my God. He might play. This is all a ruse, Chris.
Is he practicing?
Is this a ruse? Did you see practice of him?
So you don't think he practiced?
No, I don't think he practiced with the first
team.
They
said he practiced 2 days. It's the second straight day on a limited basis. Nobody said he practiced.
That's what I'm saying. Hey, throw some balls on the sideline. He practiced. Are you kidding me that they're going to risk a franchise quarterback and put him back out there after the injury he suffered with a bad ankle? Chris, you're smarter than that. I can't believe you bought this hook, line, and sinker that he's going to play.
I never said he was going to play.
He ain't no Jordan.
I said the fact that there's even in the discussion
of it. No, it's not.
It's Jordan-esque.
They do this every week.
That's all my brother said.
They do this every week.
My words.
They do this every week. They said, well, there's a
really?
Chance.
Really? Did they do it
yes,
last week?
Because they don't want you. There's no way he's playing after that. You must be crazy. If the Chiefs put him out there and he got hurt, Do you know what would happen? And he further injured himself and he's gone for the entire season? It's not worth the risk. It doesn't make any sense.
Eric Bieniemy, offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs. Here's what he said about Mahomes in practice. Pat looks like Pat. All I'm saying, Rob, I'm with you. As a layman, I don't think he should play, but the fact that it's even a discussion. And don't tell me things like this can't happen. What did one of the best running backs we've ever seen do? Adrian Peterson came back from an ACL way before everybody thought he could.
This is sometimes way early.
Michael Jordan,
Chris,
didn't he come back early from his broken foot early in his career? The Bulls didn't even want to play him. Didn't want him to put him into the playoffs. He insisted on playing and then got him into the playoffs. There are certain special guys. I'm not saying he's going to play. All I'm saying is this is more evidence.
No, it's not.
That the dude is special.
No, it's not. The evidence would be that he plays on Sunday.
Well, then maybe he will.
Then you would have an argument if he played on Sunday. But you're just going on the hook, line, and sinker that they float out there to make the Packers think he's going to be out there. That's all this is. This is football hubbub. This is a scam to put people. Oh well, you got to prepare for him. You're not sure, Chris.
If he played, he plays next week?
No, if he played
this week,
no,
next week.
No,
that would be even, what, two
no,
games?
If he played this week, then I would buy
it
your argument on
if
Monday.
He plays next week?
No, my point is no.
Really?
You're talking about
they
the potential of playing. That don't make him Jordan-esque. If he played and beat the Packers, now I would buy into your hyperbole. You're over the top trying to crown him. This is why you can't say he got GOAT potential this early on, because you just saw you could get hurt in this game and
that
it could derail you.
Potential?
Yes, yes.
Oh, so now he doesn't have GOAT. If you get hurt, you don't have GOAT potential.
All I know
I'm glad you weren't saying
all
you
I know,
writing the definitive story on Michael Jordan.
Football is different.
Because he got hurt his second year,
football
too.
Football is different. And once you get hurt, and if he re-injures
it. Tom Brady's been hurt.
Oh, he got hurt one time 8 years into his career.
He missed the whole season.
My point is, here we are. This is why he's not going to throw for 40 touchdowns this year. Of course. This is why I said that there's a chance.
Actually.
You want to bet that?
No, I mean, we don't need to bet.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Just saying,
all right.
If he comes back next week, not only is he Jordan-esque, but he might throw for 40.
If we didn't
already have a Jordan bet, I might entertain it. I'm already going to be in hot water with my wife.
You better not tell her. Is she listening to the show?
No, I'm sure
she's not listening.
At work. She's a doctor. She's at work doing real work.
Work, right.
Healing people.
She's going to be like, you bet him a pair of what?
All these sneakers you get for free and you bet him so you bought.
We'll talk about that later in the show.
We'll
and you know what? I'm starting to look right now at Foot Locker.
Well, I'm going to get you some, they got some nice new team Jordans out there.
No.
They got some nice new team. All right. Are you with me? Odd Couple Nation, are you with me?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Rob, let's switch baseball. I mentioned earlier you and I have the Jordan bet. Go ahead and gloat.
I'm not gloating.
I want it you takes, to gloat. Something might happen.
It takes
up
four,
in the atmosphere.
It takes four games, and we bet a pair of Jordans up to the value of $200.
Team Jordans.
No,
you got
those.
Some on now. I might get you another.
No,
pair
I don't
of those
want these.
Color.
I'm picking out what Rob G. Don't I get to pick it out? And I pick the Nationals. And Chris picked the Astros.
Yes. I'm holding out hope. I really, for a team that's down 0-2 going on the road, for some reason, I just still believe. I honestly do.
Do you really?
I mean, I'm not. Obviously, I understand that the Nationals have the big advantage.
Did they just beat Garrett Cole and Verlander at home?
Maybe it's because it's baseball. I don't know. But I just still feel like, they can do this. I really do.
They might win a game in Washington.
That's it?
I said six originally.
You ready to put that out there?
I'm just saying. But they got three games to win two. Washington
okay,
is no
–
you know what I mean?
If they win two – say they win the first two and not it at four.
Well, that's the series is different. Then it's
okay,
two out of three. That changes everything.
Change.
That
has to change. If they win the first one, lose the second one,
then it's 3-1, yes. But if they win the first two in D.C., no, it's all even. It's the best two out of three.
Right.
And they have two games in Houston.
The home field
Do you know what I'm saying? Yep. So, no. If they let them tie it up with the first two games in D.C., then –
But I get it. You look, they beat their two aces
on the road. You know what I mean?
Yeah, now with the –
And what have they won now? Seven in a row. They beat the Dodgers in L.A. game five.
No, they look great.
Then they swept the St. Louis Cardinals, and now they've won the first two against the best team in baseball.
You're gonna
on paper.
Y'all know iCouple Crew. He's going to be unbearable if Washington wins.
You mean like normal?
That's why I'm saving up a lot of vacation time, Chris.
Oh, what, are you going to take off?
I might need to.
I get it. All right. Speaking of this series, I mentioned that the Nationals beat the two aces for the Astros, Justin Verlander, last night, and Gerrit Cole the opening game of the series. Verlander now, who's been good in the league playoffs.
And the divisional.
The divisional
Those
and the
two,
championship
right.
series. He has not been good in World Series. He got lit up last night. He gave up seven hits, four earned runs, had six strikeouts in six innings of work, three walks as well. Check this out. Justin Verlander now has the fourth highest ERA in World Series history. Now,
wow.
That's a minimum of five starts, but he's fourth.
Do we have the other names? Because I want to see.
Don Newcomb, number one.
Okay, Don Newcomb.
You know, well, no. Carl, is he a Hall of Famer?
Newcomb? I think so.
Carl Erskine? Well, Newcomb's 8.59.
Right.
I mean, he demolishes everybody else. Erskine is 5.84 at number two. Hank Borraway, why? I didn't even hear
right.
of some of these guys. 5.76 ERA. Justin Verlander at four, 5.73. And Don Sutton, 5.26.
Don Sutton got into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He had 300 wins.
Yep. So now Verlander, man, his numbers in these previous five World Series starts are atrocious. So here's what I want to throw out to you, Rob.
I know Don Newcomb isn't.
He's not. Okay.
So,
but Sutton is.
So Sutton's the only one right there on that list.
But Newcomb was a good pitcher.
Yeah. He pitched for the Brooklyn and Los Angeles Dodgers, the Reds, and the Cleveland Indians.
Yep. Let me ask you this, Rob. How much?
He was Rookie of the Year. That's what, and he won a Cy Young, and he won a National League MVP. So he was decorated.
I knew he was right.
He was a really good pitcher, but he was not a Hall of Famer.
You think because of his World Series struggle?
No. He didn't win it.
How many games did he win?
He only won 49 and 90.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
How much would this hurt, does this hurt, Justin Verlander's legacy if he doesn't turn this around in this series?
It doesn't take away from him being a Hall of Famer. That's not really the issue.
Way.
Right. But what happens is you don't have those moments, Chris, where you go, do you remember when so-and-so pitched that one hitter in game six? You know what I mean? And they were down and they had their back. They were down and out. And he pitched that gem. He doesn't have that on that big stage, the biggest stage.
I think it's more than that, though.
What is that?
You're talking about anecdotes, you know.
Yeah.
You don't remember the stories. No. I look, he, like you said, he's a Hall of Famer. But there is a hierarchy within the Hall of Fame.
No doubt about it.
There is a hierarchy among the elite. And what separates those at the top echelon of the hierarchy from those at the next level is postseason play. There are a few exceptions.
I agree.
And I'm going to name one, and I'm going to give why I think he's an exception. Yes, Barry Bonds.
Right.
Barry Bonds, the best player now. Whatever, whatever he may have used, I don't know. But for what I saw, he's the best baseball player I've ever seen.
No, I agree. It's hard to argue that.
I mean, Rob, now it might be a little different now, a little, because of the home runs and the juice ball and all that. But I don't remember a baseball player where every time he was at bat, it was must-see TV.
No doubt about it. And he might get in the game, Chris, one or two pitches to hit and hit one out.
And he hit it out, right. He gets one good pitch,
one pitch
a game
or two.
Yep.
They would walk him with the bases loaded. He had a season where he had 225 walks. Can you imagine that?
It was
incredible.
It was ridiculous. And that was before the analytics crazy.
And he struggled most of the postseason until finally the year that they lost to the Angels in 2002, Chris, Barry Bonds hit 500 in the World Series. That was his coming out, and the pitching gave it up, and they didn't win the World Series. That would have been his creme de la creme. That would have put him there, you know what I mean? Like his moment where he finally got there, but it didn't happen.
Well, he hit a 298 for his career regular season, 245 in the postseason.
Struggles.
762 homers in the regular season, 9 in 48 postseason games.
Wow.
So that's a much lower ratio of home runs. But I think it's different in baseball. I do not blame a position player in baseball if he doesn't win a championship. Mike Trout. People are saying he's done nothing wrong.
He's done nothing. There's nothing he can do. He doesn't pitch. He's not coming out of a bullpen.
Right. They can't even make the playoffs.
Right.
But pitchers, I do think it's different.
No, I agree because you can pitch a shutout, Chris. You could go out there and stop the other team.
No matter what your bats are doing.
Right, no matter what. You could go out there and give up no runs, and all you need is one run from your team and win the game.
And if you have a bad ERA, a high ERA, or you get – you know, shelled. That's your fault. That's your fault. So I think pitchers are different. In other sports, though, like basketball, what separates Hakeem Olajuwon from Patrick Ewing?
Two championships.
That's it.
There's no.
What if the Knicks beat Houston in 90? What was it? 94.
94. Four.
I think Olajuwon was probably better than Patrick. But if Patrick wins that series head to head, he might be regarded as better.
Because you remember, it was a game 7, John Starks shot.
Yep, 2-for-18.
2-for-18, and Chris, the Knicks only lost by 4.
Yep.
I mean, think about your two-guard.
Now, Hakeem outplayed Ewing, but you're right.
Right, but I'm just saying, if your two-guard has an average night, right, not a spectacular night, you probably win that.
Yep. That's the difference.
Barkley, as great as he was,
Iverson, as great as he was, we don't put them at the level of the guys that won rings. It's as simple as that. We said it earlier with the caller. For all his spectacular individual play, if Jordan doesn't become a champion to the degree that he did, it's different.
You look at him totally different. Not that you wouldn't say he wasn't a great player.
Right.
Peyton Manning is another guy who, of course, has these all-time great records. You know, most people consider him the greatest regular season quarterback.
Right.
And he's only like 500.
He changed the game.
Right? He got the one. He's got two championships. The second one was like gift wrap.
Right.
Because that was all about the defense. Yeah. He really didn't play well at all.
But until that last year, Rob, he was 11-13 in the playoffs until that last year when they went 3-0. So now he's 14-13. At least he can say he's above 500.
And he won two.
And he won two
Super Bowls. And he's the first quarterback, right, to win two Super Bowls with two different teams?
Is he?
Yes.
Really? Wow. Is that true?
Rob G.
Check that.
Yep.
That sounds like somebody would have done that, right? But
no, with two different teams.
Wow. Wow. But yeah, so that certainly helped Peyton's legacy. And now you don't doubt him at all. All right, we want to
throw
it out to you.
That is true.
It is true. He was the only quarterback to win it
with two different
teams. Wow. Maybe Tom Brady, if he all this smoke, if he leaves the Patriots, he'll do it. Tom Brady can do that.
No, Tom can.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Ain't nobody exempt in the barbershop. You know that. Ain't nobody exempt. You can talk about whoever and whatever, whenever you want to in the barbershop.
Now, it's Shop Talk.
That's right. It is Shop Talk. It's not a game show, Chris Broussard. That's how I know I've been missed since I've been gone for 5 weeks.
Did I call it a game show?
You called it a game show.
A radio game show?
It's not a game show.
What is it?
It's a great segment.
Okay.
It's a great segment.
All right.
It's a segment where we discuss something that happened outside of the world of sports, a big topic that was trending throughout the week. And one of the stories that came across my desk this week involves the great Dennis Quaid, an incredible actor. We enjoy a lot of his films. But he's in the headlines this week because he got engaged to his girlfriend. No big deal, right? Until you find out he's 65 and she's 26.
What's the problem?
So here's the question. What is the biggest acceptable age gap for couples? We'll start with you, Rob.
I was going to say, Rob should carry this segment.
Right?
Look, I've been out with Rob Parker.
What? Just, stop it.
Can I keep it real? You want me to, you want me to keep your
keep
secret?
It real.
Can I keep it real or should I keep a
keep
secret?
Keep it real.
Rob ain't looking at nothing under that ain't in its 30s or less. Am I lying?
I'm a young 55. Right?
I can't. He's going to have a different answer than
no,
us.
I think that's fine as long as everybody knows what's going on. And apparently she's
65
cool.
And 26?
Yeah, if she gets the approval on the MasterCard, everything is good. Because you know at that age. Now, the only reason that I wouldn't marry a younger woman like that.
You would not marry a 26-year-old.
No, I would not. You know why? Because while I'm asleep at 10 o'clock after watching the ball game, she's out doing her thing. I mean, that's a lot of guys could kid themselves. That was, seriously, Chris,
well,
I'm not doing that, and I'm not chasing no young woman around.
I would say this. 65, 26, a 26-year-old, even I'm 50, even 50, 26, she probably wants to have children,
right?
I would think.
She does.
She wants to, you know, like, and I'm done with that stage of my life.
Right.
So that would be an issue.
Yeah, but being up, rubbing up against a young, beautiful girl, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you're an older guy, you know? You need a little stimulation, no?
I don't even think that way. I'm happily married. No, I haven't even thought about younger women, you know. So I, no, but look, I have 21-year-old daughters. And I'll say, like, for me to date a 20, that would be, I can't
it
even imagine
gross
that.
It would be gross for you.
Because my daughters are 21, yeah. Now, I can look at a 21-year-old and recognize the that beauty.
Right.
But it would just be weird.
I had a pool party. I was in my 40s, I'm going to admit.
Now,
okay?
Now tell the G. I know the story, right. So don't go too far.
No, I'm not going too far.
You've gone too far before.
I had a pool party, and some younger girls came with the guys who came to the party. And before
How
I know
old were you
it,
at that point?
I would say 45.
Okay.
All of a sudden, she's on my lap. She's feeding me steak from the grill, whatever. And I say to her, like, how old are you? You know, like in conversation.
When you're that young, when you have to ask, you should have known.
She was 21. And I was like, wow, okay, 21. We're cool, having fun. So I said,
wow.
You know, we're having a party. I said, you know, you could come over tomorrow and just me and you get in the pool with a glass of wine or whatever. Not really thinking that she would say, you know, I was just talking.
You were just shooting your shot.
She showed up, bathing suit on, everything. And I was like, okay.
Wowzy, wowzy, woo, woo. That's exactly what you were like.
That's exactly what I said. I don't know. Is anybody who else? Are you on? Are you?
That's the end of the story?
I'm not telling you anymore, right. But she came. But my point was.
We want to know.
But my point was.
You were shocked when she said she was 21.
But I didn't force her to come over. She was like cool with it. I was like, wow, okay. I don't know when I was 21 years old whether I would mess with a 45-year-old woman. I'm talking about me personally.
Now, I love how I love Rob saying that. You know, she just showed up. I told her, be there Tuesday at 4 o'clock, and then Tuesday at 4 o'clock, go figure.
No,
well, she could have.
Who
would have guessed it?
She was only feeding you steak on your lap, Rob. I mean,
know,
come on.
But I she could have said she could have thought about
come
it.
Come on,
said,
Rob.
I don't know.
Notice how he just. I've known dudes like that before. Yeah. Next thing I know, you didn't have anything to do.
I was fishing and I caught a fish. Who would have guessed?
Rob G, what do you think?
Did you ask for ID when she came over, Rob? That's what I want to know.
I did not, because she didn't say she was 18. If she would have said she was 19 or something, I would have asked for ID.
Okay, so...
And then it would have been a one-drink minimum.
But back to... Wow. Back to the question. What age gap is acceptable? If we don't think 39 is too much, what's acceptable?
25 is acceptable, right? How about that? 65 and 40?
I mean, look...
25 years. That's not
They're
bad.
Adults acceptable. I mean, this is legal.
All right, so your daughter comes home with a 55-year-old man.
No.
You said it's legal.
No.
What would you tell her?
My daughter.
What would you tell her? No?
Yeah, I would sit her down and have a long talk with her. If my daughter at 21 wants to marry a 60-year-old?
55.
First of all, I would be wondering, what did I do wrong?
Dude,
I mean, seriously.
Let's
21
was,
years old, you want to marry a 60-year-old?
Do it 5 years later.
Like
so
Robert?
She's graduating
yeah.
from school. Do it 5 years later.
So
she's graduating
from school.
So she's
25 years old.
So she's graduating from school.
Right.
She's in her career. She started her
and
job.
And she met a great guy.
And she was walking down the street and bumped into some grizzly old gray beard.
Because what are you thinking? Just like I'm thinking, you as young as my daughter, she's thinking you as old as my granddaughter.
And he was in your frat, too.
Rob Parker.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Appearing on behalf of Roman, where you can find out more about Roman, visit GetRoman.com/coach. GetRoman.com/coach, and you can get a free visit to Roman. It's Brian Billick, Super Bowl championship coach, NFL Network analyst. We're honored to have him here on the Odd Couple. Brian, how you doing?
What's up?
I'm doing great this evening.
Brian, I'm looking at this story right now. The New York Jets are upset that the Jacksonville Jaguars supposedly ran up the score on them last year. They won 31-12, and in the final moments, they ran the ball and scored a touchdown, even used a timeout to do it. Now, my take has always been these are professionals, it's professional football. I don't know that there's really something as running up the score.
There's a professional courtesy.
Let's see. What do you think, Brian? Are you with that they ran up the score, they were disrespectful, or you think, hey, this is football and a team tries to be as good as it can be?
Yeah, those situations are always difficult. I don't remember the game or the play specifically, but in the latter part of the game, I mean, if you're throwing up 50-yard bombs in the last minute of a game that you've got in control, that's maybe one thing. If you're running the ball, sometimes you have backups in.
Right.
You could actually try to stop it. Maybe that would help not, run up the score. So I don't know. If indeed that's an issue with them, sounds like they're trying to trump up something to get themselves emotionally up to play a game. I guess from the Jets' standpoint, you got to do anything you can.
Right.
Brian, what about Aaron Rodgers put on some show? A lot of people were questioning him, saying we've seen the best of Aaron Rodgers behind us and all that stuff. And all the guy did was something no quarterback had done since 1991 when Mark Rippon had five touchdown passes and he ran for one, had a perfect quarterback rating. What'd you make of Aaron Rodgers' performance?
Well, I questioned anybody that thinks Aaron Rodgers is beginning to decline or isn't at his best. I mean, my God, what he did the other day. And the thing, there's something that jumps out at me about Aaron Rodgers, because again, you're always, how good is Aaron Rodgers compared to the GOAT, to Tom Brady? I always say, well, if Tom Brady's the GOAT, then Aaron Rodgers is the boat, the best of all time, because this guy, the thing I always look at is when you look at touchdown to interception ratio and to be of any, value of all, we've got Super Bowl, or I should say future Hall of Fame quarterbacks like Drew Brees and Peyton Manning that are 2-1 touchdown to interception ratio. Then you have guys off the chart that 3-1 like a Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers is 4-1.
Which is unbelievable.
That just puts him in a class by himself. He went to 8 different receivers. 6 different players had explosive plays. He had 5 touchdowns, plus he ran one in. He's at 350 career passing touchdowns in 172 games. That's faster than any quarterback in the history of the game. And the biggest thing is we always say great players raise the level of players around them. Well, with the exception of Jimmy Graham and before Devontae Parker got hurt or Devontae Adams got
right.
hurt, who is he throwing to? Who are these now? They're beginning to get a name because they're showing up to be pretty good. We didn't know who these people were. Well, because Aaron Rodgers has the ability to raise the play. So Aaron Rodgers is as good as there is.
Super Bowl champion Brian Billick joining the Odd Couple. Brian, a month ago, it seemed like the Minnesota Vikings were falling apart, and the reason was the offense. Now, of course, they've gotten it going the last few weeks. And you said recently on NFL Network that you think they have the most complete offense in the NFL. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, I think they have the most complete team in the NFL. Now, it's amazing. You're right. 3 weeks ago, the season was over. They were imploding. It's terrible. And all Kirk Cousins has done is complete 75% of his passes, over 300 yards a game, 10 touchdowns, and one interception. To me, and the piece that you're referring to, I came back, I think it comes back to Dalvin Cook. I think with Dalvin Cook, who I think is the best running back in the game right now, has the biggest impact on the game right now, which fits perfectly with what Kirk Cousins, the Minnesota Vikings, want to do, balanced with a very good defense, one of the top defenses in the league. I think they're right now the most complete team. Now, we check with me at the three-quarter mark, and it could all implode again. That's the way the season seems to be right now. But I think right now, just the way they're playing, that the Vikings are as good as any team in the NFL.
Cleveland Browns have a big game, right, coming up against the Patriots. Where are you on the Cleveland Browns? I did not, Brian, pick them to make the playoffs. I heard all the hype and going to the Super Bowl. They had a first-year coach and adding a lot of personalities and big-time personalities, and Baker Mayfield has really struggled. I think 25 touchdowns the last 20 games or whatever it is. Where are you on them? Can they turn it around? Are they good enough to make the playoffs or not?
Well, it's gonna be tough because there are two teams in the AFC. I don't know if they can catch the Baltimore Ravens. When I saw them play the Baltimore Ravens 2 weeks ago, I was there at that game, mm-hmm. and clearly thought, boy, you know, the way they ran the ball against the Ravens, the way they played good defense, I thought, okay, this team can do that. But you're right, they just haven't been able to sustain it. Now they lost big time to a very good San Francisco 49er team. We get that, and a very good Seattle team. But this is kind of a definition game for them. Are they really going to take that next step? And it really does center around Baker Mayfield. Last year when he was 2-1 touchdown interception ratio and 65% completion, which was all very, very good, but it was, you know, he was playing on house money. It was like, okay, he could afford to be the swashbuckling quarterback, throw it in there because, okay, so he threw an interception. What are they going to do, lose the game?
Right.
I mean, this is Cleveland. Now, coming into the season, the question was, can you sustain that level of play with the expectations and be that playoff team? And right now, they're not because he's below 60%, and he's got 2-1 touchdown interception ratio. It's just the other way. He's got 5 touchdowns to 11 interceptions.
Right.
So against a team the caliber of the New England Patriots, the Browns have the capability, or they have the opportunity, I should say, to show that they can be a legitimate team.
Brian, USA Today recently, today put out a story that said Jerry Rice is the greatest football player ever and Tom Brady was second. Are you of the opinion that the guy at the top of that list has to be a quarterback just because of the importance of the position? Or do you think it could be another position, a Lawrence Taylor, a Jerry Rice, a Walter Payton, Jim Brown, somebody like that?
Yeah, it's a little, and this is always a tough one for those that like to, you know, put those kind of lists together. I'm never very comfortable with labeling anybody the best of all time, particularly when you're talking about as, you know, the best football player of all time. I think you almost have to separate categories. I think we have to put quarterbacks in one category. It's like talking about MVP at the end of the year. You know, for my money, a Chris McCaffrey has to be on that list, but how does it compare really when it comes down to a quarterback?
Right.
So you almost have to say, okay, if you want to have, you know, let's sit down and have a beer, and if you want to have a conversation, let's put the quarterbacks in one category and separate them from everybody else. Because otherwise, you know, the numbers and the game is so quarterback-centric, it's hard to make a case for someone other than a quarterback to be that, to have that title.
How about last thing, Daniel Jones with the Giants? I know when he first came in, they had that miracle comeback against Tampa Bay, and everybody was going crazy. Where is he? Is he progressing? Is he regressing? Where is he headed?
Well, he's like every rookie. He's trying to survive. He's trying to see if he can get better. I don't think the game is too big for him, and that's saying a lot about a rookie. There's going to be mistakes. There's a lot of things that are going to go wrong, but the Giants have to stick with him. For that development, for every snap that Daniel Jones takes, as painful as that might be in 2019, the Giants are going to be that much better in 2020. You can't give up on the guy. He has shown that he is capable of being a good quarterback in the NFL, and the game doesn't appear too big for him. My guess is that by season's end, you kind of think he might be, you know, close to that 60% completion, maybe a few more touchdowns, interception. That's all you can really ask of a quarterback, particularly a quarterback on a team that's just not very good.
Ryan, you're here on behalf of Roman. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'm excited about my relationship with Roman. I love bringing what they do into the spotlight, simply from the standpoint that, you know, look, guys, particularly post 40, 50% of them haven't been to a doctor in 2 years. That's not right. There's just too much going on. And I realize, I get it, there's privacy, there's a lot involved, it's time-consuming. The amount of time it takes to get an appointment with a doctor is like 3 weeks. Roman makes the process easy and private by allowing connection with a U.S. licensed physician, take place online 24/7, gives you access to the pharmaceuticals you need, all within a two-day period in terms of shipping. Everything that you need medically by way of advice or pharmaceuticals, you can get by going to Roman.com.
Brian, thanks a lot, man. We appreciate the knowledge.
Appreciate it,
thanks for joining us.
All right, man.
All right, see you.